pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. I am your host, Ken Seymour. I have to tell you that today I am quite excited. I always enjoy the chance to speak to somebody that is a creator of one kind. But when I get to speak to somebody that is a creator of many different types of things, that is even better. Today I have with me a model, an actress, a musician, a boxer, so be polite, an all-around nice person, Nina Bergman. How are we doing?
I'm doing excellent today.
Wonderful. I know my day has just already gotten better just because of this.
You're very sweet.
So, Nina, I have to ask, in doing the preparation for the episode, I know a little bit about a lot of things, but mm-hmm. there are a lot of things that I don't know a ton about. And just looking at how you started in the industry piqued my interest a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of people that come at acting from a bunch of different directions. And I know you got thrust on a stage early on to get the feeling of the narcotic that is the immediate applause of the audience. But you traveled around a lot with your family throughout Europe.
And yes.
That is really something that intrigues me, because one of the best things that Hollywood does in giving us information about specific types of people all over the world is get it wrong. So I was hoping you could kind of, what is something about traveling around with a group of gypsies, for lack of a better terminology, what is something that everybody gets wrong, or something that nobody knows about, that is, you know, really interesting about that experience?
Good questions. I don't know. People think it's glamorous to be a gypsy. It's not glamorous. There's nothing glamorous. You know, I guess it's the whole thing, like the whole entertainment business is not really glamorous, or maybe I'm missing something. I think maybe the way things are presented, it looks a lot more glamorous and a lot more fun than it was, you know. Like, I don't know any different, but, you know, I always worked my whole childhood and performed and didn't really have, like, friends growing up. And, you know, like, you know, my siblings, they have friends I've known since they were, like, this young, and I was always traveling, so I don't have any friends. My oldest friend is in New York from when I went to NYU. That's my oldest friend.
There must have been a really impressive trade-off that goes with that, having been able to see as much of the world as you did, as young as you were. Were you able to appreciate it, or did that come later?
Well, I think when you're young, everything is just exciting, right? And I wanted to be like my grandmother. And so everything back then was just like very exciting and nerve-wracking and fun, and, you know, because I have nothing to compare it to. I mean, I knew, like, when I would come back home and I'd go back to school, I was different than all the kids. And, you know, I was one of those with braces and glasses, and I wasn't like a hip kid. I was like beaten up because I was so different and I didn't fit in anywhere, and I wasn't cool. You know, I wanted so desperately to be cool and fit in. And I wasn't. I remember them tying me up to a pole and beating me with their slippers.
Slippers. Okay, so they get half the plan, half the evil plan right, and half the evil plan. It's like, well, we don't have sticks. Slippers. All right.
Yeah, that's what they do in Denmark, where I come from. With slippers, yeah.
But your grandfather was mm-hmm. renowned as an actor.
Yes, very.
Were you kind of shown what he did early on? I guess I'm kind of winding my way into asking, is there a film of his that is one of your favorites that you've seen? Like maybe Secret Agent or something?
No, I mean, you know, I'm obsessed with the theater. That's how I started, you know, because I started on the stage. And he was Chekhov's protege. So if anyone knows about Russian playwrights, Chekhov was one of Russian's greatest playwrights, and he was like in the Cherry Orchard. He played the grandfather, and so that's what got me into theater, and I wanted to play all the plays that he played so I could like understand his mindset. And that's what actually fascinated me more than the movies, I think.
I seem to
I don't know.
remember hearing that at one point he disliked how he looked so much in the film, says, I'm not going back to film. I'm staying with the stage. And then
Yes.
that didn't actually happen.
Yes. I mean, yes, he was a true actor. I think that was passed down. They say it skips a generation. Like my mom is definitely not a performer. My dad, professor, they all have their brains more so, and they didn't have that urge that I did. So it's like skip the generation. Yeah.
But
Yes, and yeah.
what about the theater really captivates you? When you did it, what was your favorite part? Is it the preparation? Is it just being on stage and seeing the reactions of the crowd? Where is the love isolated, or not isolated, but concentrated for you?
Well, as a little girl, I had that void that a lot of us have inside, and you go out on the stage and it's just like filled. You're like, oh, this feels good. It's like all this love just coming at you, right? And then as I grew older, I started to appreciate the plays that I was working on. And when I went to school, start learning about all the playwrights, and I started getting fascinating with where it could go. And I had a hard time identifying myself. I didn't know I went through so many phases of who I was. So I got to try on all these different characters in plays and learn all these different things. And a lot of the characters in plays, in my opinion, are better written than in movies because I don't know why. Maybe they spend more time developing. I'm not sure why. So some of these characters that I got to work on were very intricate and big character arcs, and I just got to learn so much about myself and self-acceptance, because I was like, they're crazy, but I was like, somehow I fit right in. Somehow this feels, I try on this jacket, and I was like, oh, I see how it feels. So yeah, that's what intrigued me. It was, it changes.
That's kind of awesome. Now, was it learning the stage combat that got you into boxing in the first place, or how did that come about? Because when I saw the boxing side of things, like one of these things is not like the others.
Not at all. Not at all. I was a ballerina since I was 4 years old. I got into the Bolshoi Theater, at Russia's greatest ballet school. I was a prima ballerina at 15, and I was like too balletty. I was like very, I was too balletty. So I started doing boxing, and so I had excellent footwork. And being a ballerina, going to the Bolshoi Theater is like going to Navy SEAL. It's just insane. So, my work ethic, my crazy discipline, and my training, along with very angry chick, just really worked. And then Maka found me, a guy, one of the trainers that work at with a very famous trainer here in Los Angeles, where I am now, found me, and he just started training me. And he was like, "You have something. You can actually do this if you want to."
Now,
Yeah.
what I want to find is that vintage footage of you fighting where you go into a plie and then into an uppercut.
I don't have that. I don't have that. And then the boxing and being in that environment, I heard that music, because they played a certain kind of music at the gym where I was training. And then I was like, oh. Like I was like, it speaks to my soul. I went to musical theater school, but for some reason, when Trent Reznor sings, is resonating.
Yeah, he's Nine Inch Nails is something to really just kind of take a place in your brain and just kind of just that thump and it stays with you.
I found power in it.
Yeah.
I was like, my fist, your face. I connect.
Now, listening to what you've done, though, one of the things that kind of struck me, and this, I don't know if this is on purpose or if this is just how it happened. A lot of what you've done to me has almost like a nu metal influence to it.
Yes. Yes, I mean, I was inspired by, I studied musical theater and opera, and then when I heard Trent, my life changed. And before that, I was a big Linkin Park fan and Evanescence. And one of the first bands that I, started doing shows with was Chester's psy band, Dead by Sunrise, and he kind of, started working with those guys. And so I always liked like the harder stuff, but I like melody, if that
Yes.
makes any sense.
No. My co-host and I have had that discussion on multiple occasions, as I tend to prefer heavy bands where the lead singer sings and he tends to
Yes, I
prefer
mean, I like
scream.
the little screaming here and there, but I prefer melody instead of wah, I mean, the whole thing.
That's right. Give me some
Nothing wrong. I
Seven
mean,
Dust
nothing
or
wrong with
something.
it, but yeah.
So, okay. No, now thinking about the music side of things, I had this question kind of come up to me in my mind again, just doing the research and looking at it and seeing. I saw that you were produced by Paul Anka. I mean, are we talking about like Puppy Love, Pennies from Heaven, Paul Anka, or is this a different Paul Anka?
No, Paul Anka found me. He was my manager. He did not produce me.
Did not produce.
We did
Okay.
write a couple of songs together, but he did not produce me. Paul Anka found me when I was doing well with my own band, but I was burned out because I was modeling full time to make money. I was trying to do everything I could to support my guys, and I was burned out, and we were doing well. It was escalating. We were getting some momentum. And then when I met Paul, I had no idea. I know who Frank Sinatra is, but I didn't know Put Your Head on My Shoulder. I didn't know he wrote the biggest song in the world, Frank Sinatra's song. I did it my way. I didn't know any of it. And then I just remember, he's going to hate me for saying this, but I just remember meeting him. And then I remember saying, yeah, I don't play my music for suits. And he's like, well, I listen to it naked. And I was like, oh, okay, I like you. I like you. So he listened to the music, and the next day he was like, okay, let's do this. Like you are actually really good and you have a shot at this. And then he took me around and started like a little bidding war with Universal. I met with all these different companies. And then when we met with Rob Cavallo at Warner Brothers, who were kind of more my genre and who I really liked, we signed a 6-album deal with Warner Brothers. And then Paul Anka put me with another manager called Irving Azoff, because it was like his job was kind of done. So that's he found me. It was a very odd combination. It
Yeah,
was a very odd couple, to say the least.
I'm still trying to digest it. It's just not the two things, it's not quite happening, but I love the idea of somebody that's such a legend, really, being
Yeah.
able to just kind of go, okay, I know talent when I hear it, no matter what the genre is.
I
And
think he was hoping secretly that I would go female Michael Bublé, because he found Michael Bublé and brought him over here and started his career, so which is very successful. With David Foster, he brought him over to have this very famous producer named David Foster. They're all Canadians,
Yep.
produce it. And then I think because I can, because I'm a chameleon and I'm an actor, I can do it all. But in my heart, which was the only thing that I wanted to stay true to, was my music. I still needed to be angry a little bit longer.
You didn't want to do like a cover of Donna Shane and just kind of do.
I mean, I can do it because I'm an actor, but it wasn't. I just needed to go out there and scream my heart out and just get it all out. I wanted to do music that I could box to.
Right. Well, talking about covers, though, you did a cover of a Stones song,
Yes.
and I thought that was really interesting. It's like if you're going to go big, go for the home run, get something that's established. But that brought up another thought to me. You're taking somebody else's piece of work that everybody already knows. I'm just curious, how did you approach this? Like, okay, how am I going to make this song mine? How did you kind of go for that song?
Well, it was inspired by Give Me Shelter. Was a movie that Vanessa Hudgens did. And at the time, the director approached me to see if I could do a cover of the song. So that's what sparked the interest. And then I started having the interest. And then I remember he ended up going with like Lana Del Rey, one of her songs. He ended up, and he couldn't afford the song because a Rolling Stone song. I don't want to know. I don't know what it costs, to get the rights. So that's how it started, because I wasn't like a huge Rolling Stones fan. But then when that started, and then I started working with this guy named Justin Warfield from She Wants Revenge, who has a band called She Wants Revenge that's actually big in the underground world. And then we started like working, and then I was like, oh, now I have to do it because now I have to, because it was introduced to me. And I started like dreaming about it, and it just started simmering in me. So that's how it came about.
That's got to be a lot of fun. Just the looks for somebody that may not be expecting it in the crowd. It's like, okay, well, not quite sure how to react, but it's like, all right, I can groove. It's good. All right, so I want to ask a couple of questions about your most recent film, Cold Meat,
Yes.
obviously. I am a huge fan of horror films in
Okay.
general, if they're done, in a certain way. Going into this film and having the experience you have, were you already a fan of horror films, or was this kind of just kind of like, well, I'll do it, but it's exercising different muscles?
I hate horror films. I can't watch them. I have a confession. I was thrown out of the movie theater many years ago when I watched Sixth Sense because I accidentally like flipped over because I got so scared. The psychological thrillers. Yeah. So that wasn't a dream of mine at all. And I saw that movie Scream. I have a friend that's in the movie. No, Happy. Sorry, Happy. The Happy movie. Did you
Oh,
see that one?
yes.
Yeah, I saw that one. And to me, it was such a fantastic movie. And my friend is in it. But it was excruciating. And I had weeks of nightmares. It was like I almost wanted to cry because it was so scary. I don't like them.
So does that mean that it made you, for the role that you play in this film, was that a hindrance or was that a help?
Well, I think it's definitely a help because, I once I did all the prep and once it was on set and then I just look at my co-star and I don't have to do much because it's all there, it's all there. And it's the same process, whether it's whatever it is, it's the same process for me. Horror, not horror, like it's I it, the process is the same. Yeah.
Did the director kind of approach this in a different way? Looking at the history of what he's done in the past, he's a visual effects guy.
Yes.
So did that kind of affect how he gave direction?
Oh yeah.
What was it like to kind of work in that kind of an environment? What was different about his style than other directors?
Well, it was a little bit tricky in the beginning because he works from the outside in instead of from the I work from the inside out. So he would be like when we did rehearsals, he would give me line reads because he's been living with this for 10 years and he's a visual and he sees things. And I'll be like, well, that's not how I feel. That's not how Anna feels. She feels like, so it was a little in the beginning, it was very tricky. And then we found a beautiful like middle ground where I would listen to him. He would listen to me and we kind of like he started trusting me and he would say what he wanted. And then I would have to go inside and then find whatever it was I would have to do inside to get to where he wanted to go, visually. And there's one particular scene where I run out of the car. I without giving anything away, I make it out of the car and I'm running. And there's a windstorm and there's snow blowing, but where we were shooting, there was no wind and snow storm. It was just snow that had fallen. And I remember we were doing that shot a million times and we had no wind machines and someone is standing with a leaf blower and the thing kept stop working. And then we were looking at playbacks and I was like, there it is. That's the take. And I was like, Sebastian, that's the take. That's the one, and he goes, no, because visually the hair is not and the wind is not. And I was like, it doesn't matter because the feeling is there. And he's like, but the wind and the hair is not, the wind blower is not working. So we were like a little, there was like, I mean, he ultimately edited the movie and I thought he picked the perfect shots. for the movie, and he did a fantastic job. But I remember a few times where it was like, because we just work differently.
That's funny. Now I've got this thing in my imagination for that particular scene where it's like, all right, places everybody. This is the scene, whatever. And then you hear,
That's how it was, and I'm out there freezing my butt off, giving it everything I got, and then the freaking wind machine is now, the thing is now working.
So, what was your favorite part about making this film?
Ooh, I think the character, sinking my teeth into a character like that's so different from me, the challenge, and that it was like a play because it's two people in that, it's a play, it's a psychological thriller, being with an actor that I hold, like he holds his own and he's very talented. So it was like I felt like I was back in scene study class and we were doing a scene for class and we could bounce off of each other.
Yeah, that's got to be a heck of a lot of fun. On the other hand, what was a challenge for you in making this film? Maybe something you didn't expect, something that it was, difficult to get past for you to be able to create the product that you wanted to create.
I think the hardest thing for me, Nina, my personality and Anna are so different. So it was just very, I had a hard time struggling with, Anna is having a very hard time in the movie. And so was I as Nina. And I was like, sometimes I was like, am I really struggling because Nina is struggling and having a hard time? Or am I really struggling because Anna is having a hard time and I just want to throw in the towel and be like, I just can't. I need a break. So sometimes I didn't know where I ended and she began. It was like kind of a blur. I didn't know, was I feeling like crap the whole time I was shooting because I was feeling like crap or because Anna was feeling like crap? Like the lines got blurred a little bit for me.
That's actually kind of a good problem to have in a way.
For the character, not so fun for me, Nina. Because you finish the shoot and then, but I still felt like I just carried her with me everywhere, I think.
Yeah, that's that. I have heard several actors, especially the ones that really try and embody the role rather than have the role be a reflection of who they already are. Always carry a little piece with them, kind of for the rest of their lives. Hopefully, this will be a good piece for you.
I did learn a lot.
Excellent. All right, so time for some silly questions, or maybe not silly, but maybe some questions that you haven't been asked a few times. Now, one of these I expect that you have been asked. Are you a fan of comics? Because I seem to remember a certain Wonder Woman. Was that something that you were already a fan of, or was that your introduction to the world of comic books?
That was my introduction. And
Oh.
I just remember I went to, I never was into comics, and I went to a comic book store on Melrose here in Hollywood. And I was just like sat on the floor and I just started reading Wonder Woman books every, like I was there for weeks, days, and I was like, wow, where have I been? Where have I been?
Now, has that become your favorite character, or have you branched out? Have you joined the legion of us comic book fans out there and gotten a different?
I started to go to Comic Cons, and that's when I really was like, Comic Con fans are my favorite people. I don't want to label anyone, but I call myself a nerd as well. I think nerds are thinkers. They're smart. They don't follow the trends. They have courage to be who they are. They think of for themselves. They make their own opinions. They don't try to be cool. It's like that whole world to me is where it's at. They're my favorite fans, people. I didn't think I would say that because of DC and all of those. They have a stigma, but the fans, they're my favorites.
Most of
And
us
when
love it all.
yes, I'm the same. I don't have a favorite characters because there's so, I mean, how can I? You know, there's ones for each thing and they're so different. And
Well, how about this? You've already been Wonder Woman. If you had a chance to play another comic book character, who would you choose?
Oh, but there's so many. I mean, I had a little fantasy about Tank Girl.
That's a good one. I'm glad you know who that is. Most people have no idea. I mean, Lori Petty, she did a great job on the original, but that could use an update.
I thank you. I mean, I would never be her. You know, that was her. You know, there's no one that could ever replace her. But I thought if you did something different, and then there was one that I was so into that was called a while back, Hacker Slasher or something.
Hack slash.
Hack Slash.
Yes, indeed. We've had
He
the
was
creator of that on the
cool.
show.
Where was I? Why are they not doing that? When I had black hair, I looked like identical to her.
Oh, that would be
Someone was like, you
excellent to
should,
see.
because the fans are always like, you should play her, you should play her, you should play. So I learned a lot from my fans. And Hack Slash, when I had black hair, I looked just like her, and I looked her up, and I was like, now that's cool.
It is really, really cool. Okay, well, how about we stay in the mental space of fantasy, but we're going to go somewhere else. I'm going to ask you a question I've started asking everybody. I want you to envision yourself walking in Hollywood. You decide to get a cup of tea or something. You stop in at a nice little cafe. You sit down, and at your table is this gorgeous bronze little thing. It looks like a little teapot, and it's like, oh, it's got a smudge. I'm going to rub the teapot. And all of a sudden, smoke! A genie! Genie pops out. Okay. This genie is wearing a suit and sunglasses. And he says, yeah, I know. You know I'm a genie. You get three wishes. But I've been in Hollywood a long time, so my wishes are very specific. You can choose three different people to work with. Three creators of any kind. Musicians, artists, actors, directors. Who would you choose?
Do they have to be alive, or can I bring them back from the death?
That's the joy of magic. It doesn't matter.
Oh well, Brando, Marlon Brando would be my first co-star, right?
Right?
Yes, and then I would. Ooh, that's really hard, dude. Stanley Kubrick,
Yeah.
yes, because that dark soul of mine just.
Gotta be
Right.
careful with him, though. He might
Yeah, but
drive you crazy just for the role.
I think I'm too old.
Moving
Yeah.
on.
Moving on. But just for creative purposes. But if I have any wish, I would take that out of him, that whatever
Right.
thing is in there, just pull that out. And then so I have directors, actors, and what was the last one? And musician. Any
Musicians.
musician?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh.
If you're a fan of a little super unknown, the little Soundgarden, maybe
Soundgarden,
little, yeah.
Chris Cornell.
Chris Cornell, right?
He'd be a good one. But I mean, I think you can guess who.
Probably. I'd fail. I'm very good at failing on guesses, but that's what you're here to tell and to show the joy of the choice.
I would. I mean, my longtime dream has always been to do a record with
Yes.
Trent Reznor.
Just you, him, and a keyboard in a recording
Yeah, me,
studio.
him, and keyboard, and then I would like his whole band. So I want Josh Freese on drums, and I want Finch, the guitar player, and I would like the whole band.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
That would be pretty cool.
yeah.
Downward
I would love.
Spiral was my one of my go-tos in college, so it was I can
Yeah, I was
understand
late.
that.
I learned about it too late, so I had to like watch all everything, online. But yeah, I think that would be my ultimate
That's
dream.
awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. Have a little bit of fun, have a couple of chuckles here and there, hopefully. And I want to remind the listener to take a look at the film Cold Meat. If you like horror, I guarantee you will have fun with this film. And if you want to pay attention to what Miss Nina Bergman is going to be doing in the future, you can find her at Nina Bergman, both Instagram and on X. She is official Nina Bergman on Facebook. And she even has her own website, ninabergman.com. Anything else if they wanted to kind of see what's going on that we should point them at?
Instagram is where I'm most active. Okay. So that's where I'm most on. Yes. And I'll update everyone. I have some fun projects coming up. And I know that you would like them.
Woo! Excellent. Well, hopefully you will come back and talk to us again, because I've got this sheet that I only talked about like half of the questions that I had for you.
Okay, I'll come back. I'll come back for the next one. You'll like the next one.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.